Good morning, Rabosai. Welcome to our Sunday morning shiur, learning Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzer, Simen Vav. We're actually at the very end of Simen Vav. Today's the last Seif of Simen Vav. It's Seif Yud Ches. And Be'ez Hashem will be beginning today Simen Zayin, which will be a whole new sugya. Actually, Simen Zayin, which will start a little bit later, will be a fascinating sugya that will relate very much to the halachas in Ukraine in terms of what happens if a person was under siege. Do we assume that something happened to them? But we'll talk about Ukraine later. For now, we're going to begin with the very end of the discussion that we've been having as far as what happens if a woman was attacked and we don't know who the attacker was, we don't know who the rapist is, we don't know if the gentleman who attacked this woman is a Jew or a guy, or a woman, even if it wasn't an attack, a woman was with somebody, we don't know if it was a Jew or a guy. And in such a case, we saw that maybe we have to follow Rov to determine who this person is. Is he a Jew? If he's a guy, if the Rov would say a guy, then she would be Pesula to marry a Kohen. Maybe even if she would be married to a Kohen, she'd have to divorce her husband, possibly. Because an Ashes Kohen can't be with her husband. Welcome, Mr. Davies. Thank you very much for sponsoring in memory of your father, Avasher Anshel. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. And welcome back from Eretz Yisrael, Mr. Davies. Thank you. So what we talked about until now is that when you have something that's unidentified, or somebody that's unidentified, in this case, the Boel, how do you identify him? You identify him by Rove of the neighborhood. And we saw a very special halacha that applies very few places in Shas called a double rov. A double rov that sometimes you have to have a rov not only of the neighborhood, but also a rov of the travelers through this neighborhood, so that you have two rovs that indicate that the boel, the attacker, is a Jew. Why are we so particular to acquire a double rov? So we learned last week, because Maila Achsu B'Yuchsin. Certainly on a Daraisa level, one rove to determine that the attacker is Jewish, and therefore this woman is allowed to continue to marry a Kohen or to continue to be with her husband, the Kohen, Mr. Kohen. We Daraisa, that would be fine. But Chachamim wanted to make a Maila Bayuchsin when it comes to Yichus and when it comes to Kahuna, and therefore they required a double rove, a rove not only of the people in the town, if they would have been Baal Har or Ksherim, but even the people who are passing through the neighborhood, they are ksheru. So you have a double rov. Now, what we're going to learn today is an exception to that rule. And a very significant exception, we're going to get into a little bit of lumdus that will help you in about five different places in Shas. And that is the following. There's a halacha called kavua. Kol kavua kamechza mechza dami. I'm going to explain, hopefully in a way that's clearer than you've ever understood kavua, and hopefully in a way that will clarify what we're about to learn today, and also many other sugyas that you'll come across in your journeys through Shas, the concept of kavua. I'm going to start with an example, and from that example, we'll come to our sugya, and we'll go to other sugyas as well. So, let's say I'm going to, just, you could look at me for a minute. Let's say, the classical case where you find the pastrami sandwich on Central Avenue. Now, 9 out of 10 restaurants on Central Avenue are kosher. So when you find that sandwich on Central Avenue, we say that this pastrami sandwich was parish. Was parish. It's separated from any of these possible places, and therefore if 9 of them are kosher, you could assume that the pastrami sandwich on the floor, on the middle of the street on Central Avenue, is kosher, following Rov. On the other hand, if there were nine treif restaurants, then it would be usher to eat this pastrami sandwich. You'd assume it came from the treif restaurant. That's Rov. Now, next shaila is like this. The next shaila is, you were blindfolded, and you walked into one of 10 restaurants on Central Avenue, and when you walked in, you went to the counter, you felt around, you felt the counter. When you got to the counter, you said, "Hello, sir, deli man, please give me a pastrami sandwich." And then you came home. That will not be governed by the rove. When you came home, we will not say, "Well, where did you buy the deli sandwich?" And you're going to say, "I don't know. I was blindfolded. I went into one of the 10 stores on Central Avenue. I don't know which one. I don't remember which one. I couldn't see which one. I know that there are 9 ksherim and one that's treif." When you come home, you will not be permitted to eat that sandwich. What's the difference? It's the same 90% statistic that indicates that it's from a kosher store? The answer is, where was the safek nolad? That's going to be the main nekuda we're going to focus on in the next few minutes. Where is the safek nolad? When the safek was nolad on the pastrami sandwich on the floor, the pastrami sandwich had been... The pastrami sandwich safek is when I found it. The moment that I find it, that's the moment of leidas hasafek. At the leidas hasafek, that's when a safek is defined. I'll say that again. A safek is defined for whatever parameters of safek they are at the moment of the leidas hasafek. The leidas hasafek is when Uri Orlean finds the pastrami sandwich on the floor. Not when the pastrami sandwich was made, not when it came left the store, not when it was dropped by the dropper, whoever dropped his sandwich, but when Uri Orlean found this pastrami sandwich and a shayla came up to Uri Orlean, what should I do with this sandwich? That's called the sha'as leidas hasafek, and that moment will define the parameters of how we look at the safek. So when I found this pastrami sandwich, where was it? It was in a place that was parish from the stores. It was a place that was in the middle of the street where it already had been separated from the various stores. So therefore, this pastrami sandwich is parish, is separated from its sources, its potential sources, and we will evaluate it with a din of rov called the parish, meruba parish. And therefore, 9 kosher restaurants, the pastrami sandwich is kosher. As opposed to, good morning, Safrir, as opposed to, if you have a case where the guy walked into the restaurant blindfolded, when is the leidas hasafek? When he was inside the store, he doesn't know which store he went into. You hear the difference? It's not that the leidas hasafek was when the pastrami was on the street. The leidas hasafek was when he went into the store and wasn't sure which store he went into. And when he bought that pastrami sandwich, uncertain of which store he's in, that is the moment of the leidas hasafek. And at that moment, listen to this is the punchline. At that moment, when he's in the store, the pastrami, if he would look around and take off his blindfold and look around at all the things, you know, he'd see the boar's head ham there, he'd see the pork loins there, he'd be able to see that it's a non-kosher store. Except he didn't, because he was blindfolded. That's called that the Isser is Nikar Bimekomo. The Isser, meaning the treif pastrami sandwich, the non-kosher pastrami sandwich that he bought, in its place, where the suffix really did begin, in its place it is identified. The problem is he was blindfolded, and he got home 15 minutes later, and he opens up his pastrami sandwich, and he asks himself, well, can I eat this now or not? But really, the suffix didn't start now when he opened up his pastrami sandwich for lunch. It started when he went into the store, because that's the moment when that he was involved with the pastrami sandwich, when he was in the store. And in the store, this pastrami sandwich, the Isser was Nikar Bimekomo. Now, let's take that idea. That's called Kavua. So, in this case, where the Isser, the latest Safik is not in the street, that would be Parish, but rather the Safik is Nel Nolad when he's in the store, and in the store, the Isser is Nikar Va'omid Bimekomo. It is recognizable if you would open your eyes, then the Isser is identifiable. You see it says pork, you see it says, you know, Timothy's, pork deli and pizza bar, pizzeria. So there, the Isser is Nikar Bimekomo. It's identifiably, being in an Usser environment. You didn't know because your eyes were closed. Since the leidas hasafek is there, that's going to be kavua. And the halacha by kavua, the Gemara tells us, as you are certainly familiar with, is called kavua kemechtza al mechtza dami. And therefore, if the leidas hasafek is when you find the pastrami sandwich in the street, you'll follow rov, 9 kosher stores, the pastrami is kosher. However, when the leidas hasafek is you were blindfolded and you went into the store, you just don't know which store you went to, since in the store the isser is nikar bimekomo, then even though there are 9 kosher stores on Central Avenue, you want to eat lunch, you'll have to treat this pastrami sandwich as 50-50. Kol kavua kemechtza al mechtza dami. And what's the halacha of a pastrami sandwich that's 50-50, 50% kosher, 50% treif? Of course, it's safek d'arais l'chumra, and it will be prohibited to eat the pastrami sandwich. So what did we just come out with? We just came out with a split, a bifurcation, where you found the pastrami sandwich. If you found it in the street, you follow Rav. If you went into the store to buy it, you don't remember which store you bought it in, then it's going to be treif. And I'm going to give you a very good example. Let's say your wife goes shopping, and she went shopping on Thursday afternoon, she went shopping for Shabbos. So she wanted to buy salmon, and she wanted to buy chicken. Now, chicken, she does not buy in Stop Smart, whatever they call it. But chicken, she'll only buy in Gourmet Glatt. But the salmon is salmon. Sometimes she buys salmon in, the kosher store, the non-kosher store. But she also bought tilapia. And let's not talk about salmon. Salmon has its own halacha, which we won't get into right now because it's the only red fish, or pretty much the only red fish. She bought tilapia. And when she was in Stop and Smart, or ShopRite, or whatever, she bought some apples and grapefruits and seltzers. And when she was in Gourmet Glatt, she bought the chicken, she brought the Chalav Yisrael yogurts. And she comes home, empties out the car, and she finds there's tilapia there. Fresh tilapia. And she says, wait a second. Did I buy the tilapia in Gourmet Glatt? Or did I buy the tilapia in ShopRite? And it's like a fresh piece of tilapia. There's no markings on it. Well, if she bought it in Gourmet Glatt, it's kosher. She bought it in ShopRite, then it's not kosher because it might not be tilapia. It could be eel or some other non-kosher fish that doesn't have any markings on it. So she says to herself, oh my gosh, I don't remember where I bought it. Well, she comes into the store, she calls up and she says, hubby, my dear husband, you're a big Talmud Chacham. Well, is this kosher? You're going to say, well, there are two possibilities, sweetheart. You either bought it in Gourmet Glatt or you bought it in ShopRite. That's 50-50. It's definitely awesome. Then she tells you, no, honey. I actually went to Gourmet Glatt because I like their yogurts. And I went to Seasons because I like their chicken. And I went to Kol Save because it's a little bit cheaper for the rugelach. And I also went to ShopRite. And I don't remember which of those four stores I got it from. So you're going to think, before you came to Shia today, you're going to think, well, sweetheart, three of the stores you went to were kosher stores. So there's a 75% that this, hopefully tilapia, this white fish, whatever this white fish is from a kosher store. And there's only 1/4 possibility, there's only a 25% chance that this fish that you bought is from ShopRite. So therefore, we could follow the rule of Rav, you tell her, and we could eat this fish. Now that would be incorrect. That would be wrong. Baruch Hashem, you're all here today on May 22nd, on the famous Rabbi Orlean's Evan Ha'ezer Zoom Shir. And now you could paskin the shaila for your wife differently. You're going to say, sweetheart, when did the suffix arise? The suffix didn't arise now when you brought it home. The suffix arise when you first interacted with it, which was when? In the store. But you're not sure which store you were in? But if you would go to Gourmet Glatt, it would be clear near the fish section, these are all kosher fish. And if you were in ShopRite, it would be clear that this would be a non-kosher fish because right next to this fish, the fish that are on display in ShopRite is eel and catfish and swordfish. In other words, the Isser is Nikar Bimakomo in ShopRite. Therefore, since your suffix, sweetheart, arose not when you came home, when it was already parched from the store, when you first interacted with it, which is in the store, your suffix is nolad and you're not sure which store you bought it from, your suffix is nolad in ShopRite or in Gourmet Glatt or in Kol Save or Seasons. And therefore, even though there are three kosher stores and one non-kosher store, it has a din of kavua. Since the Leidas HaSafik was in a place where the Iser is Nikar Bimekomo, and there's a 50-50% din on this fish, and it is Aser Midaraisa, Safik Daraisa L'Chomra, it's Aser Daraisa to eat this fish. That's the halacha of Kavua, and how it could come into play, halacha l'maisa. Now, I could say the same story in Eretz Yisrael. You know, your wife goes into three supermarkets and she bought peppers, and one of the supermarkets you don't trust the hashgacha because they don't, you know, it's not a good reliable for fresh vegetables. You just get some packaged goods there, but she was in a bunch of supermarkets and she doesn't remember if she bought this, you know, she sees there's a pack of, you know, some oranges that she doesn't remember if it's from the kosher supermarket that has hashgacha on the fruits or the one that doesn't have the hashgacha on the fruits. Okay, now we're going to take everything we learned and apply it to this woman who was with this man who is unidentified. But we're going to change the story. It's not that the man attacked the woman or raped the woman, but rather, the woman went to the man's house. Let me explain what's different. When the man comes to attack the woman or comes to the woman's house, this man is an unidentified man, and we don't know where he's from. We'll identify him by the rove of the people around. Rove of the city, rove of the travelers. Mash Enkin, the case that I'm describing now, where the man is at home. And this woman went to pay a call and visit him. And they were together. And maybe she paid a call to a number of men and visited them in their home. Now, each one of those men, in his own home, he's identified. If you look in his house, he has a cross and he has a wreath on December time on the front door. And he has a big Christmas tree. So in his house, he's identified as a guy. And the Jew in his house has a menorah, has a mezuzah. He's identified as a Yid. She went to a bunch of houses. She went to mostly Jewish houses she visited and was spent the night there, and one Goyish house. And now she's pregnant. Who is she pregnant to? Or she's not sure. She went to, let's see. What we're going to see now is there, the suffix is not to identify an unidentified man who's coming to her, in which case we would apply the rule of Rov, called the Parish Miruba Parish. What we're doing now is we're saying that man that she went to, he's identified in his location. She's not sure. She didn't look carefully at the door. She didn't look carefully at the, her surroundings. She didn't check if there was a mezuzah. She didn't look if there was a menorah. She didn't look if there was a wreath or a Christmas tree. She just went into the apartment and did whatever she did and left. But if you would have looked when she first interacted with that man, when the latest asavik was, when she interacted with that man, if she would have looked around, a room to identify him, he would be identified definitively as either a Jew or a guy. In other words, it would be Nikar Isser Bimakomo. The Isser would be Nikar Bimakomo as being either a Jew or a guy. But you just had your eyes, she had her eyes closed. She wasn't focused on, you know, does he have a mezuzah or not. Okay. Now we're ready to, and in that case, since the man was Nikar Bimakomo, we will not apply the rule of Rov. When she goes to him and he is Nikar Bimakomo, whether he's Jewish or not, we'll apply the rule of Kavua and call Kavua Kemechza Amechza Dami. With that in mind, let us begin to learn. Just before we start, are there any... I tried to say it clearly, but it's a very complicated concept, the concept of Kavua. Does anyone need me to clarify what Kavua is again? Kavua is when the Leidas HaSafik is... when the Leidas HaSafik occurs in a place where the Iker would be able to be identified as being Aser. As opposed to where the Leidas HaSafik is identified when the thing is already parish from wherever it came from. Okay, now...
I think we have to stress rather that it's Xeris and Kusser, but there's no logic that you've been applied to it.
Where we learn this halacha from, we'll see in the Gemara soon. That's what we'll go through that today, Bez Hashem. Yeah, we're not using logic yet, but we don't know where it's from. We'll see soon. Okay, let's look, Rabosai, the Gemara in Ksuvis, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. If you remember, we have the discussion of a woman who was attacked by a man, and Rov of the city are Ksherim, let's say, to that if they attack, meaning Jews, and therefore even if they did attack her, she could still go ahead and marry a Kohen. She could stay married to her husband, the Kohen. That's what we said last time. Rov ha'irnami, says the Gemara, that's only true. Idika azli inhu legaba. If they, the men, go to her, and therefore when the man enters her house, she could assume who's this man, who I don't know who he is. He's not wearing a yarmulke. Is he a Jew or a guy? Well, she could assume that he comes from the rov of the world, or the city. Called a parish, he's parish from the city and coming to her, you know, domain. Miruba parish, and she could assume he's Jewish. So, that's obvious. Says the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, when is there a chiddush? Says the Gemara, whatever that the discussion there is. Lo tzricha de ka'azli ihi ligabayhu. When the woman goes to the man's house, to havale kavua, that since the man, in his own environs, in his own apartment, in his own house, if she would have looked around, she would have either noticed a mezuzah or a Christmas wreath. She just didn't look around. And therefore, even though the majority of men in this city are Jews, since she went to his house, and in his house, he would have been identifiable as being either Jewish or Gentile, even though 99% of the people in the city are Jewish, she is going to be asur lekahuna, to have a kavua, when he's in his house, if she goes to him. And therefore, the halacha would be, when she goes to his house, she doesn't know who he is. Let's say, you know, nowadays, Rahman al-Islam, there's a lot of people who interact with others based on social media apps. There are these apps that they could, you know, meet a date and meet a guy, and he says, sure, meet me in my house, this is my address. She comes in, this Jewish girl comes to his house. She happens to be a single girl who might want to marry Cohen in the future. Or maybe she's a Mrs. Cohen, but she's not getting along well with her husband and she's looking for something outside of the marriage, Rahman al-Islam. And she follows the directions on the, you know, she goes to this address and she spends the night at that guy's house. And then she does tshuva, she wants to know, could she be with her husband anymore? Well, that's not a good example because there she's a sota, forget it. So let's talk about a case where she wants to know in the future, a single girl, could she marry a Kohen? So since she went to him, and in his house, if she would have looked carefully, she would have identified him as either being Jewish or not Jewish, even in the middle of Borough Park, even if this happened in Williamsburg, even if it happened in five towns in Far Rockaway, where it's Ruba de Ruba Jewish, she would, you'd have to assume, kol kavul kamechza mechzadami, as long as there's one guy in the neighborhood. Is there still one guy left in Borough Park? Maisha. Is a guy in Borough Park still? No? Maybe? Did he sell out yet? Okay. As long as there's one guy in the neighborhood, we'll have to assume that it might have been that guy called Kavu Kamechza Mechzadami. Now, where do we get, Beirish pointed out as Xeris HaKasav, let's see, where do we get the concept that Rove only works when the latest HaSafik is when the item is Parish from the source? But if the latest HaSafik is at the place where the Isser is identifiable, then we don't apply the rule of Rove. We say Kavua. What's the source for this? Comes the Gemara in Bava Kamma and says the following situation. We have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that when you kill somebody, you're only chayev to be a rotzech if you ambushed him. I think in English, in American law, there's something called homicide and there's something called manslaughter. Homicide, please help me, Mr. Saad, you're the lawyer. Homicide is when there's intent to kill. Manslaughter is like, I didn't want to kill him, but I definitely did kill him intentionally. Meaning, like if you were driving recklessly under the, drunk and high and speeding at 95 miles an hour on the wrong way, and you kill, Rahman al-Islam kills somebody, that would be manslaughter. Is that correct, Mr. Saad? You can't unmute? I don't know what's happening. Okay. There you go. Try to unmute now.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much, Rabbi. In a lot of gradations, it could be criminally negligent homicide. Man, there is such a thing that the Rav is talking correctly, that there is a manslaughter, which is less than intent to kill, like a drunk vehicular manslaughter. If someone would be drunk and speeding, that would be, and kill Rahman al-Islam, that would be vehicular manslaughter in New York.
Okay, but homicide is only if there's a specific intent to kill, right?
You could say that, sure.
Okay, fine. So there comes the pasuk va'arav lo v'kama lav zakt the gemara ad sheis kavin lo. We have a pasuk that says that you're only considered a rotzeach if you had kavana to kill. Now amar debe Rabbi Yane, that's coming to tell you that there's a certain case that will be putter only if you had intending to kill prat lizorik evan lego, as opposed to throwing a rock into a crowd. Frek the Gemara, wait a second. Why is throwing a rock into a crowd, meaning a rock, a deadly rock? People get killed when, right, when the Arabs throw stones. That doesn't, that's not just, you know, a pebble on your knee. That's, that people get killed by stones. Hey Chidami, what's the case that we need a pasuk to tell me that you threw a rock into a crowd and you're patur because it wasn't intent to kill? Well, what do you mean there wasn't intent to kill? Well, if there are nine people in the crowd that are Kana'anim and one Jew, so typically, the reason why you're patur from being executed, because it's Ru'al Rav Kana'anim. Or, even if it would be 50-50, five Kana'anim, five Yidin, Safik Nefashas Lahakel. So also we'd say, look at Rashi. If there are Rav Kananim, you don't need a pasuk to exempt you. Lo yitzter kralim iftarei. V'inami chamisha kana'im, if it's five and five, you also don't need a pasuk to exempt you because the pasuk tells us by dinei nefashos, v'shaftu ha'eda v'heitzilu ha'eda, we learn the rule that safik nefashos l'hakel. So says the Gemara, when do we need a pasuk to tell you that you have to have intent to be considered a rotzeach? Lo tzricha, we're talking about a scenario, de'ikatisha yisraelim v'echad knani. Wow. 9 out of 10 are Jews. And therefore, 90% chance you'd be chayav misa. So I think you should be rotzeach, right? Jews follow rov, and we kill based on rov, right? Da'af agav diruba yisraelim ninhu, kema de'ika chadek knani beinaihu, havale kavua. If you would have gone, when you're standing at a distance, you just see a blur. You just see a crowd. You throw a rock into the crowd, you just see 10 people there. You don't know their identities. But if you would walk into that crowd and approach one of them, you'd see 9 guys with Stars of David hanging from their neck and one guy with a cross hanging from his neck. You'd see 9 guys with a yarmulke on and one guy with a cross hanging from his neck without a yarmulke. And therefore, if you got close, that's where the suffix is. The suffix is which one of them was killed. That would be kavua. V'kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. And therefore, even though there are 9 yidin and only 1 kanani, you would still be considered safek rotzeach and you would be pater. And that's why we needed this pasuk to tell us that you have to have kavana laharog ben Yisrael, lo tzrich di kadish Yisrael, di lavkra hava min azil basaruba, uli Yisrael achavein. If I just had the regular din of Rov, if I didn't have a special pasuk, the special Gzeres HaKazah by Rotzeach, that you have to have definitive intent to kill, what we call, I think in English, homicide intent, homicidal intent. But if you didn't have that, then I might have thought you should just follow Rov.
That is called murder. Homicide is not necessarily with intent.
Okay, murder, fine. I don't know the details. That's the lawyer will interject if necessary. You don't have to address me as your honor either. You can just interject. Lotzvich dikatish says Dr. Rashi. Di lavkra, if I didn't have this special gzeres hakosav by the rotzeach, pasha rotzeach, hava mina, look what I underlined, zilbas aruba uli yisroli chavein. I would think we would follow rov, and rov is that you aimed at a Jew, right? Because 9 out of 10 of these guys, you look at a crowd, the Israeli Day Parade, right, is today. Hashem should protect everybody. Imagine, there is a guy or two there at the parade. Imagine a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, takes a rock and throws it into the Israeli Day Parade crowd. Now, with intent to, you know, he wants, you know, with the intent to kill somebody there, and it's a rock that could kill somebody there, and indeed Rachmana Litzlan killed somebody there. In fact, it killed a Jew. Now, what would be the din of the rock thrower? So, exactly this Shaila. We would say, oh, 95% of the people marching, people at the Israeli Day Parade are all Jews. And therefore, they should, the rock thrower presumably had a kavana to kill a Jew. Why else would he be throwing rocks at the Israeli Day Parade? He wanted to kill a Jew. And therefore, I'd think that he should be chayev. Says the Gemara, this Gzeres HaKosef in the Sugya of Rotzeach teaches us that we will not follow Rov. Why not? It must be this Gzeres HaKosev is telling us that if I would look closer, if I would have walked into the crowd and looked at each person in the face, I would notice that this guy has a yarmulke and this guy has a cross. And I would be able to identify each person when, if I go to his place, if each one b'mekomo is nikar v'omeid b'isura, or his identity is identified where he is. I just didn't walk there. I threw from afar. But since he is identifiable where he is, the Jew or the guy, if you'd get close to him, you'd see if it's a Jew or a guy. And therefore, the Gzeres HaKasuv says, you're not going to be chayv, even though there are nine Jews in the crowd and only one guy. It's Safik Nafash Lahakal, Kamash Malan Kra, Dahal Vahavale Kanani Kavua Beinehem. Since again, if I would look closely, I would be able to identify who is who. Kemechza Mechza Dami, and therefore I could apply the Dida Safik Nafash Lahakal. That, Rabosai, is the source for Kavua in Kol HaTorah Kula. This, as Beirish mentioned, is the Gzeres HaKasuv. It's not written regarding the halachas in Yoredeya of kashrus, of finding a pastrami sandwich in the street. It's learned out from the fact that we need a pasuk to exempt somebody in a case of nine, that we exempt somebody from being a rotzech in the case of nine Jews and one guy. It must be that's telling us that you don't follow Rov in a gevisser scenario. You don't follow Rov in this specific scenario where somebody, if you would have looked carefully, you would have been able to identify them. So from this we learn that so too if I walked into, just like if I walk into the crowd, I would have identified the guy as a guy and the Jew as a Jew. So too if I walked into those stores, I would have identified whether this fish that I bought, whether the fish that your wife bought, she would be able to identify, in the store she would be able to identify, whether the fish was kosher or not kosher. And if she walked into the pastrami, if you walk into that restaurant, in the restaurant you could identify if the pastrami is kosher pastrami or not kosher pastrami. So if that's what the latest hasafik is, then we'll apply the din of kavua. Says Rashi on that sugya of Ritzicha, l'chol mili dekaimelon kavua kemechza metzadami mehai kronafgalon. It's all the whole sugya of kavua in Kol Shas Kula, which appears at least four times in Shas, if not more, in different places, in different scenarios, in Kodshim, in Yaradeya, in the pastrami sandwich shaila, here in Ritzicha shailas. And in many, many different instances, it's all learned from this pasuk that is written in the parasha of Yotzeach. Okay. Now we're going to get a little bit of background to appreciate the sugya of kavua a little bit better. Comes the Gemara in Ksuvis and is talking. The Gemara in Ksuvis is actually our sugya talking about a woman who was with a man who's unidentified, and we want to try to identify the man. And the Gemara mentions the concept. Sometimes a suffix means you have to be machmir. Like, for example, in the case of pastrami sandwiches, if you're not sure if it's a suffix, 50-50, whether it's kosher or not, well, suffix derais l'chumra. Let's say you had a suffix on whether something's Chol of Yisrael or not. You're not sure if you bought it at Berrylicious or you bought it at Häagen-Dazs. So maybe we'd say, okay, if your whole it's Haggadahs, which is kosher, kosher Haggadahs. So you're not sure if it's Chol of Yisrael. So maybe we'd say, okay, Kol Kavu Kamechza Mechza Dami and Safik Draban Lehokel. A Safik is just treated as a Safik. Even let's say there are four Chol of Yisrael establishments on 13th Avenue and there's only one Haggadahs on 13th Avenue in Borough Park. We won't follow, if you walked in, you don't remember which store you walked in, we will not follow Rov. Rather, we will say Kol Kavu and we'll apply the din of Safik. The din of Safik by pastrami sandwich is lahachmir. The din of Safik by Chol of Yisrael by Nesu Drabanan is lahakel. It depends what how you deal with the Safik in the specific shaila that's being dealt with. But you apply the rules of Safik, Kol Kavo Kamechza Mechzadami. Frektigma Menahani Menadale Rebbe Zeraha, where do you know this din of Kavua from? Says the Gemara. Maybe we could learn this halacha from the story of pastrami sandwiches in the street on Central Avenue. I le maybe teisha chanios kulon machros b'chsar shruta v'achas b'sar nevela. Central Avenue has nine kosher restaurants and one treif nefer restaurants. V'lokach me'achas mehen v'eino yodeh mezehem en lokach. You bought in one of those restaurants, you don't remember whether you got from the kosher restaurant or you went into the non-kosher restaurant. Sveiko aser. In that case, this pastrami sandwich will be aser. Ubenimtza, as opposed to if you found a pastrami sandwich on the street, then we'd follow Halecha Charov. Could that be the scenario, the split where you see the concept of kavua, that kavua is kemechza mechzadami? Says the Gemara, that's not a good proof because hasam lechumra. Maybe there you're just being machmir. You're just not eating it when you went in the first case where it's sveiko aser. Maybe just being machmir. That doesn't prove that kavua is kamatzah. So you're just being machmir. Ella, look at the next shaila. Where do we see kavua come out and jump into our face? The following case. Mitishit Sfaradim. Rabosai, are you experts in reptiles or in shratzim? Well, Sfaradeyas are not among the Shmona Shratzim in the Torah. But they look very similar to some of the other Shratzim that the Torah does specify as considered Tamei. So your son comes back from camp, and he said, Dad, guess what I collected in camp? So you say, I don't know, you collected a bunch of awards for being the best masman in the bunk, and the best learner in the bunk, and the best daven in the bunk. He said, no, my friends got that, but look what I got. He takes out a shoebox that's full of frogs and some other similar looking item, and he picks one out from you and he puts it on your hand and says, Dad, look at this frog I found. And you drop it and you're disgusted, and you look carefully, you say, wait a second, there are only 9 frogs here and one of them is actually a sheretz. Am I tamei? Could I go to the Beis HaMikdash now? So says the Braisa. Elami Tisha Tzvardim, I don't know if it's a Braisa or not. Tisha Tzvardim Vesheretz Echabineam. Vnaga Echad Mehem, Veinio De Bezim Henaga. You don't know whether you touch the Sheretz or the 9 Tzvardeyas. So you think, hey, oh, so there's a Safik Doraisa Lechumra, right? No. By Tumma Vatar, we don't say Safik Doraisa Lechumra, nor do we say Safik Doraban Lahaka. What do we say? We say, hold on a second. If we'd say Sveiko Tame, right, correct. That's what we're going to say in the next line. We'll just say, if we're talking about 9 Sfaradeyas and 1 Sheretz, if that would be the case that you tell me Sveiko Tame, does that teach me that Kavu is Kamechzal Mechzadami? Because we're not following the Rov? No, because there, maybe I'm just being Machmir. That's why I'm being Sveiko Tame. Ella, look here. I just didn't say it right. Look at this case. Same story. Son comes home, but in the box the numbers are flipped. There are 9 Shratzim and 1 Sfaradeya. And again, they look a little bit similar to a 9-year-old eyes. You're a Talmud Chacham. You know what's a Sheretz and what's a Sfaradeya. That's a Sheretz that is Tamei and a Sfaradeya that's not Tamei. And he took one in your hand and you dropped it, of course, because you weren't expecting that. And then you look in the box to see what it is that you touched. And you see in the box are 9 Shratzim and 1 Sfaradeya. So, again, since this is Tumma Vata, we're not going to say Savik Dorais L'Chumra. We're not going to say Savik Dorabana L'Kula. But look, what are the numbers? If we would follow Rov, what would happen? 9 Shratzim. If there are 9 Shratzim, what should be the halacha if you just follow Rov? 9 Shratzim, you'd be Tamei. But look what the halacha really is in this case. Birshus harabim, if he showed this to you on the highway, right as he gets off the bus on the side of the road and you pick him up from camp, he gives you a big hug and shows you his shratzim. Birshus hayachid, sveiko tamei. But if he waits until he gets into the car and you bring him home and then he comes into the living room and he says, son, how was camp? And he always shows you his shoebox with the tzvaradeya and the 9 shratzim. Birshus harabim, sveiko tahar, you're not sure which one you touch, sveiko tahar. Wow. You see that case? 9 Shratzim and only 1 Sfaradeya, and you touched one of the 10. 90% chance you tell me. What's the halacha? Sveiko tahar. Goodness gracious. We just used kol kavua kamechza mechza dami as opposed to rov to make you to be more lenient. That's an incredible thing. Normally, rov allows you 9 out of 10 kosher stores, allows you to be, you know, mako. And kavua usually makes you be machmir, because it's safek d'orais l'chumra. But here, the fact that I'm following, that this is a case of, that if I would be following Rov, theoretically, if I'd be following Rov, then Rov would tell me that 9 shratzim would be, 9 shratzim are, 9 shratzim would be, the rov would be tamei. But here, if it was touched in a way of kavua, we'd follow the rule of Kol Kavu Kamechta Mechzadami and Rabbi Sveiko Tahar. That's the Gemara that shows us the case of Kavua. And where do we see this concept that Kavua is Kamechta Mechzadami Midurais Manolan? From the Pasuk of Ritzich that I showed you before. That's the Pasuk. Now, to finish off, before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, where he's going to apply...
Why is it Rabbi?
If it would occur, if the suffix would occur, and Rishus, the halacha is, when a suffix of Tumah V'Tara occurs in Rishus Harabim, the suffix is Lahakel. It's learned out from Sota.
Yeah, but wasn't the suffix here in his possession? Like, where did the suffix originate from?
The suffix would be where he touched it.
He opened up the box where...
He touched it on the side of the highway, or he touched it in his living room.
He touched it in his. The boy brought it home. You said, and so it's his suffix is originating in
If it's in his living room, you're right. Maybe his son showed it to him right when he got off the bus on the side of the highway. That would be a suffix. It's Rishus Harabim.
Isn't Rishus Harabim rabbi with the three people? Any type of three people isn't that Rishus Harabim for this purpose? Different than Rishus Shabbos, you see, for Shabbos?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the parameters of suffix Rishus Harabim for Tumah V'Tara. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
I think it has to do with privacy. That's it. It doesn't have to do with anything with Rishus Harabim of Shabbos.
Okay. Thank you. Could be.
Fine.
I'm totally fine with that. I don't know. Okay. I want to show you one little more... to deepen our understanding of, okay, I'm not going to say what everything that I explained as far as the definition of suffix of kavua, all the dramatic additions that I did to dramatize and describe it, they're all based on the Shev Shmaitza that we're not going to read inside. But everything, all the comparisons of the guy who went into the store and the wife who came home from the store, that's all based on the Shev Shmaitza, which we're going to skip. But just know that I said it, hopefully, bediktuk, as far as those different stories of going to the stores and coming home and nikar va'omin b'makama. Okay, so now we know the concept of kavua. Let us jump to see. Oh, we have to see what a Rambam writes. 1 second. Okay, comes to Beis Yosef, he quotes the Rambam. Kachim Divrei Rambam, meaning the tour which we're not going into, quoted a Rambam, because of that if a woman, when we talked about that a woman who was with a man, and we don't know who the man is, we don't know if was he a guy or a Jew, and if he was a guy, of course, this woman is off limits from being able to marry a Kohen or stay married to a Kohen if she was raped. Now, all those halachas of following Rav, says the Rambam, applies only if it was not in town. If the attack was like out of town, on the side of the highway, at a rest stop, that's where she was attacked. But if it happened in the city where the man is identifiable as who he is, everyone in the city knows him, in other words, the Isser is Nikr V'Omid B'Makomo, then she doesn't know, because it was dark, so she doesn't know who the man was. But the man is easily identified because he's living in his own city where everyone knows who he is. The Rambam says that we don't follow Rov. The Nivala Be'ir, this is what the Rambam says after the parentheses, the Nivala Be'ir, if she was attacked by this unidentified man in the city, Lo Tinas L'Kon L'Chatchila. Let's skip a little bit. Even if we have the rov of the city is Jewish and the rov of the passerbys are Jewish, she can't marry someone lechatchila or kohen lechatchila. Okay, I don't want to get into that. Okay, let's jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this is the end of the sugi of kavua, and the end of the simon. Ra'ua shenivala ocean is abra be'ir. This woman was attacked or became pregnant from some man in this city. In Borough Park, in Williamsburg, in Farah, in, you know, Eastern Far Rockaway, which is all Jewish. But there's one guy in the neighborhood. Afil lo hayashalchin sham ela akum echad. This woman, even though Rove, double Rove, should make her okay, because since it happened mamish inside the city where, you know, everyone is known in this city and people are identified as either yes being Jewish or not being Jewish in this city environs, shekol kavua kamechza al mechzahu. We just applied all the halachas that we learned last week and today and are coming out with a chumrah and saying the whole time that when do we have the leniency that you could assume that the rapist, the attacker, is a Jew and therefore she can go ahead and marry a Kohen? That's all true if it happened on the road at a rest stop. But if it's in the middle of the town, if it's like mamish in a small neighborhood where everyone's Jewish and everyone's most people are Jewish, and people are identified as who they are in the city, but it was dark, so she doesn't know who the guy was. She didn't see if he had a Magen David hanging from his neck or a cross hanging from his neck. She just didn't notice. But if you would have looked closely, if she would have paid attention, she would have seen it. Then, even if it's 99% Jews, there's one guy in town, she is a din of kavua, kemechza mechza dami. That is the chumrah, tremendous chumrah, of the Shulchan Aruch. However, since it's such a big chumrah, it's only going to have this din lechatchila. Vim nises, if she already married a Kohen, or she's already married to a Kohen and was raped, we're not going to say she has to get divorced if 99% of the city is Jewish. If she could claim that he was a kasher. Fine, let's move on. Next sif of the Shulchan Aruch. Next part of the sif. Let's say there's a woman who was with a man and she can't articulate to us whether or not she was, whether the guy was Jewish or not. She doesn't know who he was. Or she was a ketana. She was an 11-year-old who was Rachman Al-Tzlan attacked. She doesn't know who the man was. Because she might have been with a guy. And what's the halach of a suffix zona? Even if she gets married, it's an iser, suffix iser daraisa, and they have to get divorced. Unless, of course, you have two roves to rely on. Elim kein hayisham shnei rubim hametsuyim ksherim. If this occurred in a place like, Efrat, let's say. Efrat is a place that itself is Rove Jews, and even most of the visitors are Jewish. I guess maybe Bar Park too. Most of the visitors to Bar Park are all the people from, you know, Flatbush who want to go shopping in the Bar Park ladies' stores, and the people from, the women from Pesach and Muncie and the Five Towns who want to go shopping in the ladies' Tznius clothing stores on 30th Avenue. So if it happened there, then you have two roves, and it's a suffix, so then you could follow the two roves. Finally, okay, we'll just read the last two lines. We're not really going to discuss them so much. V'yesh mi she'omer, she'afilu nis'abra be'ir, im halach ha'bol eleha. Some say that we don't do this din of kavua. I'm sorry, that if the ball came to her, even in a city, just because it's a city where people are identified. And I said before that if it's a city where people identify, we say it's kavua and it's safik lahachmir. No, there's some rishonim who say even there tinas lechatchila. Fine. Kevan tiika rov ha'ir v'rov sias ksherim elam kin halchi elav ustamanami shen yodua mialach l'mi. Let's say it's a case that we don't know if she went to him, he went to her. Tinas lechatchila. Okay, that is the end of Simon Vav. I know we did this last part very quickly. I don't want to harp on those points. Be'ezus Hashem, I think it's already 10:55. I think we should stop here. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. Next week, we're going to be discussing the following. Next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to talk about Ashayla, Halach, Lamaisa. There have been a number of cities in the Ukraine that were under siege, literally under siege. Over the past few weeks, Mariupol, for example. And there's no question that some of those people that were under siege were Jewish. I know most of the Jewish women left. But the shaila is really about a woman who was included in that siege. Let's say there's a city that was under siege, and there was a woman there, a Jewish woman there. Her husband was out fighting in the Ukrainian army or something like that, and this Jewish woman was in one of these villages that was under siege, or in that big steel plant that was under siege. The husband comes back to his wife. His name is Mr. Cohn. Does the very fact that she was under siege make us be concerned that maybe she was attacked by one of the Russian soldiers who were laying the siege, and therefore Mrs. Cohn may not be able to go back to her husband? Does he know? Does she claim that something happened to her? No. Does he know that something happened to her? No. The very fact that there was a siege itself gives us a suffix, gives us a concern that maybe she was attacked and taken advantage of by virtue of the fact that there was a siege and she was included in that siege. The question that we'll try to talk about next week is what happens if she claims nothing happened to me? Will we believe her? I don't know. What happens if the people there tell the husband, they didn't come into this house. They stayed outside the house. They were in the streets, they didn't come into the house. What if it was a guy who says that? What if it's a woman who says that? What if it's a katan who says that? What if it's her sister who says it? What if it's a shivcha who says it? So Be'ez Hashem, we'll see the answer to those questions next week.
My mother-in-law.
Or her mother-in-law, exactly. Yeah, I'm just going to turn off.